Hello and welcome to The Deep Dive. Today, we're pulling back the curtain on a really captivating ingredient. It's often sort of in the background, maybe. Sumac.
Right.
Even the name sounds kind of intriguing, doesn't it? Ancient.
It absolutely does. Mm-hmm. And our goal here, as always, is to sort of cut through all the noise, you know, find the really valuable stuff, give you a shortcut to genuinely understanding sumac.
Not just facts, but the why and how.
Exactly. So you can feel really well informed about it.
And it's got such a rich story. Sumac isn't like just a stand-in for lemon. You actually see it used with citrus quite a bit.
Mm.
It's got this enduring legacy that, well, our sources say really brightens things up, both the palate and the plate.
That's a great way to put it.
You know, I wasn't super familiar with it myself until I spent some time in the Middle East. And the flavor, well, it's kind of addictive.
It really grows on you.
Yeah. And I think if you give it a try, maybe with summer grilling or something, it could easily become a mainstay in your kitchen, too. It's got this clean, compelling taste.
Okay, so let's trace it back. Where does this vibrant spice actually come from?
Good starting point.
Well, it's derived from the dried berries of a shrub, Rhus coriaria. And it's not some new discovery. I mean, it grows wild all over the Mediterranean, the Middle East, parts of North Africa, too.
So it's been around a while.
Oh, yeah. Which hints at its deep culinary roots, you know?
Right. So we're talking really ancient credentials then, like centuries of use.
Precisely. Sumac was a staple way back in antiquity. This was long before citrus fruits were, like, everywhere in Europe.
Wow.
Our sources point out it was common in ancient Roman kitchens. And today, still absolutely central to Levantine Turkish Persian cooking.
That staying power is pretty amazing. It really tells you something.
It does. Its presence just endures.
And it wasn't only for flavoring food, was it? I think the sources mentioned other uses, more foundational, maybe.
That's a really crucial point, yeah. Beyond the kitchen, sumac was important as a natural dye.
A dye, okay.
Yeah. And it was also valued as a medicinal agent, known for its astringency, apparently good for digestive health.
Huh. So, food, medicine, dye. Quite the versatile plant.
Totally.
Yeah.
Shaped food, but also traditional medicine, crafts. It's quite a backstory for something we might just sprinkle on top of a dish now.
Definitely more than just a sprinkle. So, okay, given this incredible history, what does it actually taste like? What captured people's imagination for so long?
Right, the taste. That's where it's really unique. Visually, you're looking for this vivid burgundy color, usually ground quite finely.
Mm-hmm.
So it gives you flavor and that visual pop pretty easily. The flavor itself is bright, a dry sourness, tart, fruity, but also gently earthy.
Okay, so dry sourness, not like a squirt of lemon juice or a splash of vinegar. The acidity is different.
Exactly. It's not that sharp, wet tang. Sumac's acidity is more subtle, maybe powdery. It sort of lingers gently, a whisper of sour, not a shout.
Powdery. Okay, I can see how that works well for dusting things or in rubs. Doesn't add moisture.
Right. And it has a low aroma, interestingly. You don't smell much until you taste it. Then you get that lingering zing, a hint of astringency.
That makes sense for dry rubs then, for sure. So if people want to try it, any key tips from the sources? How to get the best out of it?
Yeah, a couple of important ones from chefs. First, always buy the deep crimson stuff. And check for added salt. Some cheaper versions use it as filler.
Good tip. No added salt.
And store it away from light. That helps keep the acidity and that beautiful color.
Okay. And isn't there a trick about when to add it?
Yes. For that maximum visual impact and the brightest flavor, add it right at the end. Just before serving, if you're using it as a finishing spice.
Right.
However, if you want to kind of deepen the flavor, integrate it more, you can gently toast it in a bit of oil.
Ah, interesting. Like for a marinade.
Exactly. That works really well in marinades. Brings out slightly different notes, so it's versatile, bright, and raw. Or warmer and more developed.
That raw versus toasted distinction is really useful. Okay, so it's definitely more than just a final sprinkle. Where else does it shine in cooking?
Oh, it's incredibly versatile. Our sources talk about using it in dry rubs, marinades. Pairs great with garlic, cumin, yogurt, especially for meat and poultry.
Mm-hmm.
And it's fantastic just sprinkled over salads and vegetables. Think fresh tomatoes, onions, cucumber.
Oh, yeah, I can picture that on tomatoes. Or roasted aubergine. Potatoes.
Roasted potatoes, definitely. Yeah. And then in sauces and dips, it adds brightness to tahini, hummus, labneh, yogurt dressings.
Just at that lift.
Exactly. And of course, as a finishing seasoning on grilled meats, eggs, flatbreads, it's superb.
It's interesting how culturally embedded it is, too. Like in Turkey, it's standard in onion salads and rubs.
Yeah. And in Iran, apparently, it's passed at the table like salt and pepper.
Wow. Just like a basic condiment. That says a lot.
It really does. Shows how central it is. And flavor pairings. It works well with so many things. Lemon, garlic, red onion, cucumber, lamb, feta, chickpeas, parsley, mint, olive oil, tomatoes. A whole list of natural partners.
It sounds Mediterranean. Clean, yeah. Vivid.
That's a perfect description. Light on aroma, bold on the palate. Unmistakably Mediterranean.
Okay, let's shift gears slightly. Something that really jumped out at me from the sources, beyond the taste, was its history and health. What surprised you about its non-culinary side?
This is where it gets really interesting, I think. Especially if you're into nutrient-dense foods. Sumac is an absolute powerhouse of antioxidants.
Really?
Yeah, especially polyphenols. Those are the beneficial plant compounds, you know. And this one source actually said it provides more antioxidants than blueberries.
Wow. Okay, that's impressive. More than blueberries.
I know, right? Kind of puts its traditional medicinal uses into perspective.
It really does. So what were those traditional uses again?
Well, traditionally, it was valued for anti-inflammatory properties. Mm-hmm. Used for joint health, digestive issues. It apparently has mild antimicrobial properties, too. And some modern research is looking into its potential role in blood sugar regulation.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah historically, yeah. Inflammation, digestion, and like we said, dyeing textiles and leather.
That's a huge range for one plant. But there's a really important warning we need to mention, isn't there, about not grabbing the wrong plant?
Yes, absolutely critical. You must use culinary-grade sumac. That's Rhus coriaria.
Not the garden variety.
Definitely not. Don't confuse it with ornamental poison sumac, which you find in North America. Totally different plant, and the poison one can cause nasty reactions. Always be sure of your source.
Okay, very important distinction. Culinary grade only. Got it. So moving back to the kitchen, what are some classic dishes where sumac is really the star?
Well, connecting it all, sumac is absolutely central to some iconic Middle Eastern dishes and blends. We're talking classics like fattoush salad.
Love fattoush.
Manakish flatbreads, and of course, the za'atar blend.
Okay, fattoush. Can you paint a picture of that for anyone who hasn't tried it?
Sure. Fattoush is just a beautiful Levantine salad, layers of crisp seasonal veggies, torn pieces of toasted pita bread.
The crunch from the pita is key.
Totally. And it gets that signature zesty kick from sumac. It's bright, herbaceous, perfect summer salad, great with grilled stuff or as part of a mezze. It just shows how sumac brightens everything up.
Perfect example. And za'atar sumac is non-negotiable in that blend, right?
Absolutely essential. Za'atar usually has dried thyme, the ground sumac, toasted sesame seeds, dried oregano, sometimes marjoram, and salt.
How do you make it? Just mix it.
Pretty much. You combine everything. For a finer texture, you can give it a quick pulse in a spice grinder or use a mortar and pestle. But you want to leave some sesame seeds whole for texture.
Right. That texture is important.
Yeah. And it's just incredibly aromatic, so versatile, great on bread with olive oil, sprinkle on eggs, roasted vegetables, everything.
Incredible. It really is woven into the fabric of those cuisines. Any other, like, interesting tidbits or fun facts that stood out?
Well, one source mentioned its Latin name, Rhus coriaria. The coriaria part actually refers to its traditional use in tanning leather.
Ah, connecting back to the dyeing and tanning.
Exactly. And just reiterating that it's a table spice in Persian cuisine, like salt. And it was once used as a vinegar substitute, which makes sense given its tartness.
Ties it all together. And there was that quote we found that just seemed to capture it perfectly.
Oh, yeah, that was a good one. Sumac is the sunshine of the spice shelf. Bold, bright, and unapologetically tart.
I love that. Unapologetically tart. It fits perfectly.
Yeah.
So, quite a journey we've taken with sumac, from ancient Rome to our kitchens today.
Exploring its unique flavor, those surprising health benefits.
And seeing how versatile it is in dishes like fattoush and za'atar, it really does brighten the palate and the plate, just like the sources said.
And that's what these deep dives are all about, isn't it? Shining a light on maybe overlooked ingredients or topics, giving you that shortcut to real understanding, those aha moments.
Definitely. And this dive into sumac really proves that point. You understand this one spice, and suddenly it opens a window onto whole culinary traditions, history.
Yeah.
Makes you think how something seemingly small can have such a huge global story, and hopefully how it can impact your own cooking.
Absolutely.
So we really encourage you listening to seek it out. Find that unmistakably Mediterranean flavor. Don't be afraid to experiment with it.
You might just discover a new favorite way to add some brightness, some depth to your meals. Give it a try.